Hi, I'm Kiki.
And I'm Kemi.
And you're listening to
Your Advisors Will See You Now, a podcast that will help you to figure out all of your options for life after high school.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. We are here with one of our After the Degree series. So if you're new, or if you haven't been with us for, you know, you're joining us after some time, our After the Degree series are just topics that we talk about typically post-college graduation, sometimes post-high school, but just topics we talk about that relate to career, moving cities. I'm having a brain freeze right now, but changing cities or making friends. We've had a lot of topics that we've discussed so far, but today we're talking about that new job awkwardness. Kemi and I are both in new jobs. I've been in my job for going on 6 months. Kemi, it's been like
eight weeks.
Yeah. She's gone on 2 months. So we are both still like relatively new. And even before we started recording, we were talking about just the jargon that we are still learning. And Kemi was saying how she thought in education, you know, going from education from higher ed to a different part of education, it would be similar, but we're still learning and we're still new. So That's today's topic. Do you have anything you want to start with? You want to start with learning new jargon? Or I guess we could just talk about what it was like for us in our new jobs, like your very new job, but what those first like couple of weeks are like. It takes time to settle in, but
it does take time to settle in. I don't know why my earliest memory, and this is not like a memory that comes to my mind, was when I worked at Clark University. And it's just like you're going to the staff lounge and like you bump into people. Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? Good. So what's your new job? I'm like, I do this. Oh, so you're gonna be doing this and this? I think so. I'm still figuring it out.
Right.
I think it's just like trying to get to know new people and understand what your role is with different departments and actually understanding what that looks like. Because when you read the job description, it's so macro level.
And it's vague.
It's very vague. And even when you do some of your interview process, I like to say, what does a day-to-day look like? And these are some of the people that are, depending on what level you're in the interview, they give you sometimes different scopes of what that looks like, depending on who they are. So it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. No, very true. I remember looking at my job description, like for my current job, it was 3 lines and it wasn't like anything really. So I was like, of course, like you said, they're going to discuss that with you in the interview. But I really was like, I don't know what I'm applying. Like, I don't know exactly. And I'll say this too. I had a friend, my current coworker, I knew her already. So like, we're already friends. So she gave me the rundown of the position. But if I didn't have her, I would not have known anything about this job. Yeah. It was the most vague description ever. But it is hard to like gauge, and you're right, when people start asking you, what are you doing? And there's some, I feel like with academic advising, maybe that was like a little bit clear because, you know, we've been academically advised before, we've been to college. Yeah. So maybe we knew what to expect, but even then there's still going to be a lot of things that you don't know that you have to learn along the way. But I think we're just now in different sectors, like still, we're both still in education, but just different sectors of education. So it just, it's a big learning curve and it just takes time. And I always think that, like you just mentioned, when you like are in the interview and you're like, what's the day-to-day look like? I just think back to my interview with my last job in advising, and you just make it like, you make yourself sound, and that's the point of an interview. You make yourself sound so like, I'm gonna, you know, I think one of the questions they asked me was, what do you plan to do in your first 90 days? And I said, I'm gonna make sure.
Oh, but go ahead. Sorry.
Well, here's what you're fine. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to make sure that it was the first 30 days or whatever. I was like, I'm going to make sure that I meet with all the departments, or at least, you know, go over to introduce myself to each department that we're going to connect with. I ain't doing any of that. I did not like, you know, of course you're just like saying things. And we had to do a presentation as well that I think it was really just to see how we can present, if we can present, but you know, I think they also wanted us to implement that. I couldn't even tell you a month in, I couldn't even tell you what I presented about 2 months prior. So it's just like, you know, of course you're going to make yourself sound like so great. That's the point of an interview. But like once you get there, it's like those nerves kick in, and this just that being the new person kicks in. You're like, I'm just gonna follow whatever so and so does. Like, I'm not trying to shine, basically. You know, right, I'm not trying to shine right now. Like, I'll shine when I'm settled, but right now I'm trying to learn all this stuff.
Everything. And that's so funny, because I wonder if they asked you that question because to show how proactive you are, because maybe there was a lack of trade, like, because maybe they had a lack of training. Like, well, let's see how proactive she is with kind of figuring out how to train herself. And that's been something too, working at different places. There's been some places that had some great onboarding training, and then some places where it was like, that was it. Like,
what? Like, I've really yet to have that, a good training. So, like, in the, you know, thankfully I have like good people that have helped, but like a proper training, like you're mentioning, I don't think I've had that yet.
I think I have had one really, really well. The place that I had now is pretty decent. I can't be mad at it. But I think the most impressive one that I had was when I was doing, what was it, virtual assisting for a little bit. And since it was in such the online space that you ain't never gonna meet nobody, they really did the training to a T, that you could follow it, follow it, follow it. And that was like your first like day and a half, like you were going through, and they used ClickUp. Like that was like a project management tool, and it housed everything in it. And it really, they had videos, they had like examples. Like, it was the best thorough training I think I've ever seen someone put their time and effort into, which was really, really good. What other training? There was, and then on the opposite spectrum, I used to work for an institution. Let me be quiet, because I just heard some news from wherever it was today from a previous coworker, where it was like I showed up, and it was like, I guess the department was just fully forming and stuff like that, but man, there was not much preparation for the department coming together, because that manual didn't really have much in it. And it was like, so what? And I was seasoned in higher ed. So, and then we had some new people that were brand spanking new to higher ed. So I'm like, if I have questions, I know they have questions. And I'm looking at some of these processes like, how is this process going to work? This is not ironed out. So that is even worse. And I was online for that job too.
Yeah.
So it's not like I could walk over to an office every minute I have a question. And it was during orientation. So, you know, everybody's busy at orientation. And then they were putting work on me during orientation too. I'm like, I only had to run through this once, and I'm having issues and I can't even log in. And you didn't even tell me who to talk to if I couldn't log in, and what I should do now and how I should follow up. Can I send them to you? It was just
like, figure it out.
Go figure it out. And, but it was very telling of where I was working. And I left there.
I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, I feel that. And I guess like you'll never, I guess you can ask in the interview like what the training is like. And I'm sure they're going to, you know, amp it up a little bit. So you'll never really know what the training is going to be like, or what, you know, those first few days are going to be like, because the person hiring you is probably kind of going off the cuff in a way too, you know. But that's where, you know, like, it's going to be awkward. But I know when I got, for my current job, my supervisor, she just kept telling me to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And I never don't do that. I'm always like, even if I sound dumb, even I was telling you today, I asked a question, and it was just like somebody sent me an email, and I was like, I don't know what that is. I don't know where to find that. And my coworker helped me. She was like, oh, it's right here. It's just this. And I was like, okay, so is it like right, you know, like where am I looking? She was like, no, that's it right there. And I was like, oh, so, you know, it was basically, I know I'm just rambling, but it's two different words. It's just synonyms. And I've only heard it used. Mm-hmm. I've only heard like one word. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, it's this. It's also this. And, you know, so just kind of learning, like you were saying before we started recording, the like vocab, the lingo of the department. But I was told from the beginning, just ask questions. And I after I asked it today, I was like, oh my gosh, you're so dumb. And I was like, no, you don't know. Like, you don't know. And also, like, this is a question that typically wouldn't even go to me. My other coworker is about to go on maternity leave, so she's like turned things over to me. And so I would never have to have experienced this previously. So it's a learning experience for sure. Mm-hmm. But we kind of laughed about this the other day, but the reason, there was somebody in this role before me that was only there for 90 days, and they said she never asked questions. So that's why I see now why my manager was like, ask questions, because they said this girl before and never asked questions, and she struggled. But you really do have to, that's a barrier you have to break. I know it's hard to like be new, and you don't want to sound, you don't want to sound stupid, but people are going to have people, exactly. People are going to have, they're going to be compassionate towards you. Even if you ask the dumbest question that you, something that you think is the dumbest question, it's okay. Because it's like, at least you asked, and you don't know what kind of crisis you just could have averted. Like if you didn't ask this question, you could have messed up a whole something, a whole account. I don't know. A whole email could have been messed up. So it's better to put yourself out there than to struggle, figure it out on your own.
Yeah. I ask so many questions, and I always lead with, hey, y'all, I just started 2 months ago. I'm a newbie. I'm fresh. So I proceed with, so here's my question, X, Y, and Z. And the one thing that I did think was kind of snazzy about where I work now is they assign you a buddy. And so they served in a similar, like they probably served in your role before. And they also just someone who may have like a similar background to you that you could be like match for a friend. Actually, the person that I, they signed me up with, she I think is she in Charlotte too? She's in North Carolina, and she worked in, she did. And I asked her if she knew you, cause I forgot. Because I think she worked at one of your old jobs, too. I was like, wait a minute, do you know so-and-so? She's like, no, I don't think so. But anyway, she worked.
Are we going to talk? Tell me later.
We're talking about later. Like,
who?
Yeah. It was just so crazy. I was like, oh, I was like, no way. And she was from North Carolina, and she worked like in doing some like, you know, college preparatory things. So it was a good fit. So they really were earnest about trying to find someone who's a good fit, same background. And then she also had my role before. So that was really cool. And then I could just ask her random questions, too. So if it was like we were in an all hands meeting, I could just like side note her, like, what does that word mean? Like, you could ask her, it could be any question capacity, and then she could reroute you back to the what you're looking for.
That's so helpful.
I appreciated that. I really did.
That's a good system, actually, to buddy somebody, like to pair somebody.
Yeah. I think it's very helpful if you mostly work online too. So I think they did a really good, where I work now, they do a very good job of functioning in an online environment, because some of the things they do, I was like, I wouldn't have thought of that, but that builds camaraderie. Because it's so hard when you don't see nobody, you're not with somebody all the time. So something that was kind of cool is at the beginning of all meetings, we do a connector question. And there we go with the jargon, connector. I was like, what the heck's that? It's an icebreaker question. But they do that to like establish like a connection with like your team and whoever you're having a meeting with. But pivoting to the vocabulary, that can be tough, especially when you're trying to understand things, if the vocabulary is different. So I was just making a joke about like one of my coworkers, like, well, no, where I work is very, you know, education, all education, basically like K through 12. So there's a lot of jargon within that space that I thought was gonna, you know, overlap with higher education. No, baby. Man, they're like, yeah, so we're going to do our walkthroughs, and then we're going to elevate that, and then we're going to crosswalk this so that way we can examine and then like, but there was, I was like, wait a minute. So we're just going to look at that piece of paper right there and say what I like about it. Okay, awesome.
Right.
Boom. But then again, something nice that they do have on their page on their website is they literally have a little dictionary with their is like the
that they use.
Yeah, so I was totally referencing that. Like even something small, like they're like, yeah, you have to prepare a slide deck. I was like, what's a slide deck? Like that sounds so official. It's a presentation.
It's a
slide. It's a PowerPoint slide. I'm like, oh man, I got that.
But I think a lot of these companies that are like new, like I don't know if how long yours has been around, but you know, like that's kind of these more, I don't know what to call them, but just like newer companies and that are in, they kind of have their own, they just like have their own jargon. Like it may not even like, you may go to the next education job and they have a whole like new jargon kind of thing, you know? Yeah. I think that's just like how some of those newer companies are, just because they're run by younger people as well. And so it's just kind of like the trendy, how to engage people, like these trendy words and things. But I'm sure it is like way different. But what's yours considered, like your job is like a education, not like think tank. What's it considered? Like education what?
It's like a nonprofit organization, and then they help with
there you go.
Improving mathematics and English in different schools. And then they customize it too. So that's what makes it very personal.
Well, there you go. Nonprofit. That's a nonprofit thing, honestly, too. Yeah, I think that's like a nonprofit just way of life, is to have our own lingo. It's like that only we know. And it just connects you too. But that's funny. Yeah, when I worked for the College Advising Corps, that was fully virtual. And I don't even think we really had training like that. Like, we had some introduction, I guess, to the company. But when I started that job, our cohort of advisors were totally new. The College Advising Corps is in high school, on campus based program for high schools. We were like the first wave of virtual advisors. And so we had to figure out how to connect with each other. And I don't think training was the best. I don't even remember training, honestly. It was just like, here, call 1,000 people and then report back kind of thing. But they did do a good job of giving us projects to do, because if this is like the first time they're ever launching this virtual program, we had to start it from the ground up kind of thing. So they did do a good job of grouping us together to do projects that we would implement throughout the school year. But I will say, and I guess, I don't know, this is not maybe the best thing, but every job I've had lately, I have friends that I consider friends still outside of work too. And with that job, with College Advising Corps, we all got close way too fast. So much so that there was drama towards the end of our tenure there. But yeah, I think just because we thought we knew each other, or not, it wasn't drama with everybody. It was drama with a couple of people, I'll say that. But we just started to learn things. But we were so close. But that, it worked, because we would come to meet in person maybe every quarter. And it was just okay, I talked to you online 2 days ago, now we're in person, you know? So that made it easy. So we didn't really have the awkwardness of not knowing each other. Of course, that first time meeting in person is okay, it's weird, but I'm always surprised. We even all talked about it. We were like, how are we all so close like this? We are really cool with each other. It always surprised us. But that is kind of somewhat of a luxury, I would say, of online, because I feel like you're right. They do try to make sure that everyone feels connected, that they're getting you involved with people, you know, from the bat. So that's one of the perks, because they know you're not you have people that are all over that you may never meet in person. Well, you all had an in-person retreat, but it just makes it easier when you know you can just call somebody on Slack or Teams to be like, hey, I need help with this. Or, hey, can we just chat today? Even if you're miles and miles away.
Yeah. Speaking of retreats, I think that's definitely, that helps so much. It was kind of crazy how I started in December 4th. And then 2 weeks later, I went to the retreat. Mm-hmm. But I'm so happy I did go, because I was able to see my team, work with my team, understand my team and how we can best help each other. And then it was also coordinated well, because the HR did some assessment tests, so we could figure out what are your working strengths and then what are your culture communication strengths, so we could understand how everybody works and how people feel affirmed in their work. So I thought that was pretty nice. And it was even helpful because it made you reflect on yourself too.
Yeah.
So I think and it was a good retreat. Honestly, the past retreats, if any, I had at jobs, they all, mine stunk, man. We didn't have one. We didn't have one at Clark because COVID basically took over the 2 years that I was there.
Yeah.
What else? We didn't have one at all. And the other one I went to, and then one of my first jobs at a technical college, we all loved people there. I wish that they had us planning what to do, but man, it was
running the college.
Even when they had us on the board, the person that was the leader of the board, who was in charge of all the money, kept on making such bland decisions that everybody in the board was like, we tried, man. I don't know why they keep on denying, why they even have us here. So it was just so bland. We sat in no fun group collaboration activities. It was just sitting for a lecture hall. And then they had us go drive to the park afterwards. It's like, we're going to go drive at the park and you're not even providing we had to provide our own games. I was like, then let us go home. let us go home.
Right. I can do this at home for real.
Like, we couldn't, we didn't even have, like, any, like, icebreakers, no fun collaboration activities. So it was just, like, at that point, going to the park, you're just stepping out of your comfort zone to probably talk to someone new that you never knew. Or you're just,
right.
Or you're just, you know, chilling within your own department. So
right.
The retreat I went on in December, I was like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be like. This is actually pretty legit.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So.
But that does help when you have, like, a retreat off the bat. Like, that was, like, perfect timing. That you were able to have that, because then you were able to meet your team, and it's not like you met them, you know, 6 months in. You know, you already kind of were able to build that rapport with them at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I was gonna say, when, and I know at the end we're gonna kind of like give tips, and I know we're just kind of sharing our stories now. But one of the best ways to, like, depending on where you work and if they offer this, if they have professional development workshops or just anything they offer, what else are they called, like wellness events or webinars, things like that, or, you know, you can get a certification through your job. Do those too, because that's a great way to meet people, and because they tend to be, especially when you're doing like a webinar or an online course, excuse me, those are smaller and you meet people from all over. I know at my last job we did like a leadership program that they don't do anymore, which I'm like, that's so dumb. Like, that was like one of the best programs they had at the college, and they phased it out for whatever reason. But I met people from all over the college, like people that I would never have interacted with before, like Beth that we interviewed, that's a chef, Jason that we interviewed, that's a welder. I met them through that program and would have never known them if it hadn't been for that program. So those are great ways to just talk to people, like, in other departments. And I am notorious. I like to be by myself. Like, when I'm at work, if there's people around to talk that I know, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna talk to you, but I'm not the best at reaching out. So that took, well, I also had a friend in that program, but it's like, that took some guts to do it. And that's all it takes. Just do it. We're all, like Kimmy and I have already said, like, we're all learning and growing. Like, even someone that's been in a place for 20 years, they're probably having to learn the most because technology is changing. So just think about everyone's learning curves. You know, don't feel like, oh, I'm embarrassed to come here, or I don't want to meet people. Sometimes you just go sit down. Somebody might sit next to you or sit behind you, and you just talk to them. That's all. Mm-hmm. It's hard, though. I understand. I was a member at Central Piedmont. Two stories. So one of my friends, he always, like, tells me, he was at the time I started, he was a work study, and he was like, I just remember you coming in and you were just sitting at the front desk, just looking around, looking so confused. I'm like, okay, thank you. Like, it was day two of me being at this job. Like, What did you want me to do? But he just always points out.
Come talk to me then. You should have talked to me then.
I'm sure he did. But he just, I think he had just, like, come in for his shift. And I think he maybe hadn't met me yet. And so he just, like, that's his first memory of me, is what I should say. I'm like, okay, I've been here for 24 hours probably. And then my other friend, so that was, shout out Josh. My other friend Sheree, shout out Sheree. I used to find places to eat my lunch just by myself. And that's just how I am. Like, I just like to eat lunch. Like, if I've been around people a lot during the day, I'm like, let me just go eat lunch by myself. But Sheree, one day, she was like, where are you always going? I was like, I'm just going to find a table outside somewhere. She's like, come eat with us. And that's how our friendship started. So, I mean, sometimes it takes people that are just more introverted than you, or extroverted, I should say, to invite you to do something. So I'm thankful for that too, for Sheree and her just being like, come sit with us, you know, because some of us are a little bit too shy to just go sit with people as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, be that person, be that
change. Yeah, be so the change.
We were looking at some articles of how to adjust, you know, when you're first starting a new job. And we found a article on the Muse, and it's 5 ways to boost your confidence in a new job. And I really feel like it is just confidence, because you're lacking it. Because you're new, you're going into something that's unfamiliar. So I feel like that really is just the core issue at hand, you know? But the number one thing it says on here, which I think is easier said than done, is to relax. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to play it cool, but you know, I think it's a little easier said than done. But it says on here, walk into your new job with your body full of tension and your fists even metaphorically clenched, and you'll not only stress yourself out, they put everyone else on edge too. Yeah, just kind of swing.
They're going to be like, oh,
you'll be less inclined to open up with new colleagues because you're in self-protection mode. And you won't be in a place to do great work because you're focused on yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your body's great. Your body's a great mirror for how your mind is. That's true. So if your body is tense and anxious, there's a good chance it's because that's how you're feeling. So relax, loosen your shoulders, breathe naturally, listen to your body. And when you feel it becoming tense or tightening up, take a deliberate choice to loosen up and relax. Okay. Mm-hmm. Get a massage before you go to bed.
Yeah, no, for real. Get a massage. And two, I think you said two articles, I'm not sure. But the other article, I'm just going to like kind of go off of that point too. It said it's important, if you can, to take a few days off from like your last job to your new job. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that goes into relaxing. Like if you go from one job, one, like, you know, and you take, it was like literally a day in between, first of all, you left your other job for a reason. Sometimes it's, you know, just to move up. Sometimes you left because you were stressed at that job. So a part of being able to go into a new job relaxed is hopefully being able to take some time between jobs as well. I just wanted to point that out. I did that and it was one of the best things.
Yeah. Allow like time for transition, because you're still unwinding and thinking about things. I feel like a week after when you leave a job, you're still thinking of things that need to be deliverables and things that need to be closed out. Yeah. Like, why am I thinking about that? Why I don't work there anymore? What am I thinking? You know, so you're
just, I sure was. I know I was. Or no, maybe take a year in between jobs. That sounds nice.
If you can.
You tell your new employer, can I start next year, please?
Be like, you're no longer offered this job.
Right, exactly. we retract our offer. But the next point is to remember why you're there. And essentially it's saying, remember that you were the one that was chosen for the job. They hired you because you were the best candidate for the job. So that should be one of your motivating factors to help you settle in. You know, they saw something in you that made you the best candidate, the best person for the job. And then also remembering what got you excited about that job description. You know, hopefully you didn't just apply because of the money. Some people do, that's fine. But hopefully you applied as well because the job excited you and it's something that you wanted to do. Maybe it's something new that you've never been in before. So it's just to keep in mind, you know, the reasons that you apply to the job, and just remembering that, you know, you're in that job because they wanted you there.
This next one, it's definitely been me for these past 2 weeks, because there's two big programming things coming up in my job. So this one is directly for me. It's called Trust the Process. It says, in any new role, there's pressure to perform right from the start, whether that means finding the best solutions, providing the right answers, or impressing the right people. But perhaps the most important thing to remember in any job is that you don't have all the answers. In fact, acting as though you do is really just using bluster and hubris. Interesting word. To keep people from thinking you're not good enough. Nobody expects you to know everything. And when you're faced with something you don't know, sometimes the brave thing to do is to tell the people you're still figuring it out. And I definitely had, so I did part of my training too. I had to talk, they actually set up different people that I had to talk with in the organization. And something that someone said, as, because I have like a list of questions to ask them that they already prepped me to ask them of how my role would work with them. But I also added my own questions at the end. And one of the things I asked was, well, what advice do you have for working at this organization? And one thing this girl, she told me, she was like, you know, with our jargon, or sometimes it's hard to process things sometimes, it's okay for you to say, hey, I'm still trying to build context around this. I'm still trying to have a better understanding. So I don't really have a firm thought on that yet. I was like, you know what? Right. So I've definitely, when I don't understand what's going on or I need more clarity, I'm just open with it. I don't even try to act, you know? And it's definitely been nice to see other people do the same thing too. When they're like, sorry, I was kind of lost in the sauce. What were we supposed to do right now?
Right.
So it's been very comforting.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. The next point is to see them as people too. And them is your coworkers, your new teammates and things. So like we've already mentioned, you know, just see that everybody is learning, everybody is growing. If you're comparing yourself to someone that's been in the job for 6 months longer than you, 2 years longer than you, 5 years longer than you, it's impossible to compare yourself to someone that's been there for a while, because they obviously just know more than you. Like they're there to help you grow, help you learn as well. So see them as people too. Everyone's going to make mistakes on the job. I know my coworker told me something that she did, like a major flub that she had, and she's been there for several years. And it happens. It happens for sure. I know at Central Piedmont, at my last job, at the end, I was getting, you know, a little beside myself, probably just ready to go. And I'm sure I was not like the most professional advisor all the time. But, you know, even the most professional people sometimes get out of character. Don't let it happen too often. But I mean, we all make mistakes, you know, no matter if someone's been there for 30 years, like everyone has a learning curve. So the point of this one is just to not compare yourself to them, because they're part of your team. Like they want to help you, and they want you to also learn from their mistakes as well.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I think an easier way too is for you to reflect back to a time that you messed up at work, and then think of the person in your job that messed up at work. And you're like, okay, I'm gonna give them grace, because I would want you to give me grace.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, if they're cutting up all the time, then, you know, you might want to not money to happen. But you know, you know, something.
Tell HR.
You know what I mean? But if it's those once in a while things, like, you know, we are all human. You know, we are not all perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one here, it says normalize new. Your brain lights up like a Christmas tree when you're in a new situation where the outcome is uncertain. So the fear you feel about starting a new job is just your brain doing what it's supposed to do. The real problem then is thinking that the fear and anxiety is the problem. It isn't. It's perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to remember, that it's normal. And whenever you're doing something new, your brain goes into a kind of panic mode because you're uncertain. Like, mm-hmm. No matter what that is, you're going to school, you're going to college, you're going to a new job, you're going to, like, maybe you're visiting a new country, you're going to some place new that you are not certain about. You always have that, oh, I'm at the uncertainty. So that's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's one of the things that I knew for a while that I didn't want to do, or I didn't want to be at my last job. I mean, I would say maybe a year and some change. I just wasn't feeling comfortable there, or I didn't like it anymore. I'll say straight up, I just didn't like it. But I think like being comfortable is what kept me there for longer. And of course, I believe, like, you know, the Lord's timing was the best timing, because it just like worked out how it's supposed to work out. But people were like, well, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to do next? And I'm like, I have no idea. I'm like, this is all. And I think you and I always talked about, we felt like that was all we knew how to do was academic advising. Mm-hmm. But it's how do you know what else you can do if you don't try something else? So that new feeling is going to happen. Like, you can't avoid newness, and you can't let fear keep you comfortable either. And that's what I think for a long time. I was like, I'm just going to stay in this job, even though I don't like it. And that's like stupid. You know, if it was paying me $1 million, then yeah, I don't have to like it. I will stay there, but it wasn't. So I think it's like, if you don't trust yourself to be able to go somewhere new and learn something new, then you're kind of failing yourself in a way, because that's the whole point. Like, you go to a new job, they're going to teach you. They're going to teach you everything you need to know. Like, you can't, as we said in the beginning, you can't go somewhere. They shouldn't expect you to know everything just because you came from somewhere that maybe is similar or it's totally different. They can't expect you to have read up on the whole entire website and read all the things about their company. Maybe you did, but you have to be ready to just kind of go into new territory. And that's just part of the settling in process, just taking a leap of faith.
Part of change. I think sometimes as human beings, we run away from change because it's uncomfortable, but it's all part of growing pains. Like, you grew up when you went through your teenage years, it's like your bones were a little more achier. It's all growing pains, you know, it was for your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all got this.
Absolutely.
Well,
but yeah, I think that's it.
Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now and listening to an After the Degree series where we talk about adulting and life after that degree. So we will see you in the next episode. Please make sure to follow us on our TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all our socials, such as at Yawsyn Podcast, YAWSYN. Did I say that wrong?
No, you said it right. Yes, okay. You said it correctly. No, you said it correctly.
let me do it again. So make sure you follow our social platforms at Yawsyn, YAWSYN Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. And make sure you send us an email to give us some ideas of new topics. But until then, we'll see you in the next one.
See you.
Bye. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to the latest episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media pages and check out our website. Take a look at the show notes below.
And please make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. Also, show us some love and please leave a 5-star review. Catch you next time.
See ya.